So here's the question. How do active people in the Des Moines area stay pain-free and live the active, fulfilled life that they deserve at any age? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. I'm Ryan Domeyer, and welcome to the Rev Health Radio Podcast. Welcome back to the Rev Health Radio Podcast. I have a guest today, Lindsay Andrews, one of the co-owners of Fitness Sports here in Des Moines, and a former running athlete herself and now running coach and extraordinaire with a lot of different things. So Lindsay, thanks for joining.
Thanks. That's generous. Thank you.
Lindsay did a running analysis on me recently with some really cool software. So we talked and nerded out about running mechanics and all things running recently. So I thought we could provide some context to people. Running is such a popular sport for so many people to do. There's so many options of running a 5K, running a marathon, running an ultra marathon, running a Ironman, all above. And Lindsay has a pretty cool background. So Lindsay, why don't we start? Give us your story. Give us your personal history with running and athletics leading into how you and your husband now own Fitness Sports.
Sure. So I started running when I was 11. Pretty much everything I did was inspired by my siblings. So siblings ran, siblings played instruments, I did whatever they did. So that's kind of how I got started in running, and just really fell in love with that journey and the process of sort of like self-exploration, finding excellence, what excellence means for the individual. So just really fell in love with it and ran all through middle school, high school. Was kind of decent in high school, wouldn't say I was anything special, didn't really get recruited. Ended up running in college and just improved a ton, learned a lot about kind of how to achieve at a high level, and ended up nabbing up some All-Americans, some runner-ups, NCAA champion, Division I, and just really got to experience running in a lot of different levels. So kind of started on the low end and then finished at a very elite level. So that was really cool to see that process kind of unfold over the course of over 10 years. So that was really, really neat.
But that sounds like a unique story. How did you go from an average high school athlete to Division I elite athlete? Were you a late bloomer as far as getting better in college, or did you focus on becoming a better runner? That seems like a big jump.
Yeah, so I think I'm not necessarily the most like raw talented runner. I'm pretty fluid and efficient, so I always had like a good stride, but I've never been just like raw talent. I had to work pretty hard at it. And so when I got to college, my coach and I kind of discussed what my training history had been, and I had been doing really, really, really low mileage through high school, like 15 to 20 a week, so almost nothing. I had never heard the term long run. You know, I didn't really do warm-ups and cool-downs. They were like 5 minutes, and we walked it, basically. So it was just like the training wasn't there. And so when I got into college, my coach had me running right off the bat, like 50, 60, 70, 80 miles a week each year, just kind of jumping up. And so as that mileage got higher and I stayed healthy and consistently just trained all year long, we saw some really big jumps and improvements, just figuring out what my body needed to reach its potential, which is different for everybody. You know, I had teammates running half the mileage as me that were running really well. And then, you know, there was me that was really on that high end. So it just was a process of figuring out what worked.
That makes sense, of kind of just a training effect. If you're in high school, you're a typical high schooler, you don't really prioritize or focus on your training. You just go and run.
Right.
And then you get to college and you see probably some big jumps initially just from having a plan set, having some actual training effects of some running specific coaching, which is fascinating. What distances did you run in high school and college where you were in Division One?
So it definitely changed. I was primarily focused on the 800 in high school. I loved it. And then when I got to college and was running that high mileage, you know, I just realized I'm not fast enough. So I just wasn't talented enough at the speed stuff. So I kind of jumped up into mostly 3K, 5K, dabbled a little bit with 10K, but not a ton. So I would say 5K was probably my favorite distance on the track. And I loved cross country. I was really good at cross. So it just, 5K was probably like my sweet spot as far as distance goes.
And then after college, did you go into college with more exercise science degree, or did you always have a passion for running, know you wanted to do that after college, or how did that work?
Yeah, so that's kind of a funny story. So my undergraduate degree is actually special education. And initially when I started graduate school, I was still running in grad school for a team. And I decided to pursue some exercise science with the interest of adapted equipment. So I really wanted to learn a lot about like adapted PE, adapted exercise equipment, adapted like playground equipment, that type of stuff. That was what really interested me. And then as I got further into that, I was teaching, kind of realized that teaching was not my thing. And so I've stayed kind of in tune with some things that are relative to adapted equipment, but for the most part, I just fell more in love with the idea of helping people of all different walks of life, whether they have needs for adaptation or they don't, because in reality, very few people that walk into my stores are fully healthy, you know, fit individuals. Most of them have a story of some kind, some type of need or ache or pain or injury, and so while it's maybe an unconventional method of getting there, that's kind of one of the things that has inspired a love for helping people.
Yeah, I see. That actually makes sense to me. It sounds like you've always had a passion for coaching, and I know you still do that now, which is a background in your education of teaching people, and coaching is really no different. It's teaching someone a skill, teaching them how to improve at something, both of which both of us do. So you had your master's and then you were an elite runner. How did that go into you and your husband owning Fitness Sports and owning a sporting goods store?
Yeah, so my fifth year of running, I ran for the University of New Mexico Division I program. We won the cross-country title in the fall. And unfortunately, I had some really negative physical reactions to living at altitude, to some of the training methods they were utilizing, some nutritional issues and things like that. So I ended up not running very well there. And so in the end, at the end of that year, it was like, initially I had hoped to go run professionally to some degree, and that door was kind of closed at that point. And so that was when we just decided this store thing we had been talking about for like 6-7 years, we just should do now. Let's just do it. If we don't do it now, we're never going to do it. And so we took that leap of faith, and that's how we kind of ended up here in Des Moines owning shoe stores.
And you own two in Des Moines, one in Eastern Iowa.
Yes.
Is that correct? Fitness Sports. And you guys sell a whole range of things from shoes to equipment to what do you guys have at Fitness Sports? What's what have you guys worked on since owning it as far as what you guys, the vision you guys see with the store?
Yeah. So when we first opened our stores, they were called Heartland Souls. And a year ago, almost, we acquired Fitness Sports, changed our names. And so initially, I would say when we were Heartland Souls, it was very like run-walk focused. So we just had mostly shoes, insoles, you know, running apparel, nutritional stuff, stuff that was just really focused on running and walking specific. When we acquired Fitness Sports, there were some other things that we acquired through that purchase. And so a lot of like sports med stuff, so braces and orthopedic type stuff. We've got some swim gear and things that we just hadn't really dabbled in beforehand. So being in Fitness Sports and now having that name across all three stores, we've kind of broadened some of our reach and some of our range with what we're doing. And that's been definitely a learning curve for us, just learning how to understand some of those products and make sure that we're providing that information to our customers when they come in looking for something specific.
And the thing that I noticed, and I knew you for Heartland Souls, actually didn't know you guys bought Fitness Sports, but you guys are always active in the community.
Yeah.
It seems like every high school I've been involved with, you guys are involved in the runners and somewhat in local races. Is that still something you guys have a passion for? And as far as local races, are you guys all throughout the state of Iowa? Are you more central Iowa, eastern Iowa? What do you guys do for your local community?
Yeah, so when we first opened, we just knew that, especially since we didn't grow up here, we didn't know anybody. We did not know a soul in Des Moines. So when we got here, we knew the priority was connecting with the community, and not just, you know, for the bottom line. It was more like, I want to feel connected to the people that are coming in our doors on a very personal level. And so we were out, oh my word, at every race and every group run that first year. And I'm not joking. We were working 80-hour weeks constantly, and it was so worth it because we got to know so many great people. We made a lot of friends, people who have now babysat for us. And you know, I just remember one time after I had my daughter, had a customer come in who I had met that first summer we moved here, and my daughter was just losing her mind, scream crying, and I had like 8 customers, and I was freaking out. And so this woman came and just held my screaming baby for like an hour. And it was such a disaster. But that was kind of the community connection that we so wanted. And so as we've continued throughout the years, we've still maintained that connection. We like to connect with local health professionals like yourself. And we've brought an amazing man, Brad, on full time on our staff to really continue some of those community connections. Because at the end of the day, Jordan and I just can't do it all, and having a 3- and 4-year-old and a lot of other things on our plate, we just felt like the community piece was lacking for us, and we don't ever want to lose that piece of the connection. So again, it's more than just like, we don't want people to just see our name on a bib. Like, we want them to see us and see our face and know that we're here to support them in their journey.
And yeah, it sounds like bringing on Brad and his role and having a bigger team as you guys grow with stores has allowed you to do a few more things from an owner side and even more run coach and running analysis now.
Yeah.
You recently have some really cool software. How much is that something you're looking to grow and continue to do more individual running coaching? Or what do you do yourself within the stores for people that want help?
Yeah, I mean, ideally, I would be working almost full-time doing analysis and coaching. Right now, I generally coach around 10 people at a time. That's kind of been my limit just with the other responsibilities I've had in the past. But as some of those responsibilities are now being given to Brad and some of the other people that we've brought on full-time over the last 6-7 months, I would really like to see that area of my job grow. So lots of analysis, lots of coaching, because that's the stuff I'm super passionate about. I love working the store floor for sure. Like, I love fitting people for shoes. I think it's really fun. That's the whole point of owning a shoe store, right? Like, the process of actually fitting people. But I also know that most of my staff is really, really good at it too. And so if they have the opportunity to be involved, that's where they should be. And so, you know, I would love to, like, for instance, I had an analysis recently and he did the gait analysis and then he was like, all right, now fit me for shoes. And so it was really fun because it was like, I got to see this whole like start to finish process of here's your analysis, here's what you need to work on, here's your shoes. Let's make sure these are functional with what we saw in the analysis. And then, you know, what else do you need today? Let's get you all set up. So it was really cool.
I relate way more towards the second one. And it's kind of, I see it as two different things. When you fit someone with shoes, there's instant gratification. You find a pair of shoes they love. They look nice. They fit nice. They can't wait to go break them in and try them on their runs. And it's like, yes, that was great instant gratification. Coaching is so much delayed gratification. There's so many months of planning and prep. And you and I know that whether it's injury rehab or running coaching, awesome to watch them finish the race they've had on their calendar with the time they want and feel good, but man, that delayed gratification is such a different input. It's a longer it's a longer thing that you have to think about with people,
and sometimes there's some disappointment through it too. You know, an injury pops up or the race doesn't go the way they want because of a nutrition issue or hydration issue, or
the weather's really hot and their heart rate spikes and it's just one of those days,
or their dinner didn't sit well and they're trying not to poop their pants, like, you know, it's just, that's the reality of the coaching. It's definitely much more challenging, and much more delayed gratification. But I tell you, those times where I've had some of my clients just break through and hit a huge PR or finish their first marathon or whatever it is, I'm just flying high for like a week, you know, it's like, this is the best. So
you have seen a lot of runners, you have coached a lot of runners, you have helped a lot of people with very different goals, whether it's running their first 5K, whether it's run an ultra, whether it's whatever. What challenges do you help runners with most? What challenges do runners face that is kind of even just like the lowest hanging fruit that you see with people coming into your store that they need help with to improve, just to be better at running?
Yeah, I would say initially, like, if they're just walking in the store doors and they're like, okay, help me. You know, the first thing for us is obviously the shoe fitting and making sure that they're in the right shoe, because most people are not. If you've never been fitted, you've never been truly fitted for a shoe, you're probably not in the right one, unless you're just miraculously lucky and the dude at Dick's Sporting Goods managed to get you in a good shoe by luck. Most people aren't. And so the first thing is educating them on the shoes and understanding why it's so important. So that's kind of the first initial thing, because that leads into injury prevention or healing of injury. If they're dealing with, you know, I can't tell you how many people come in every single day with plantar fasciitis. I mean, almost every person probably has had it or has it. And so making sure that they're in the right shoe for them is number one priority. And then anything else beyond that is just, you know, additional. But I would say that that's kind of the focus, because that means either, yeah, like I said, injury healing or future injury prevention, improved efficiency so they can run faster, longer, farther, and just being able to get them to whatever it is that they want. So whether that's, hey, I want to be able to walk my dog around the block without any pain, or, hey, I want to go run a 100-mile race next year. Like, it's so different, but...
Do you see, because I see a gap in this as well, it seems like running, because it's like, oh yeah, I just run, where people will just Google a training program and try to find that. Yes. I feel like that's something runners need more guidance with, as far as volume, that's normally the first thing I look at when someone has plantar fascia pain. I usually ask to look at the volume they've been putting in days or whatever. I know you're biased because you're an individual coach that programs for people. What options are out there for people? As far as training programs, obviously there's free ones everywhere, and they've been around forever that you can find online. Obviously, a more individualized one would be better for an individual person. How does someone go about finding the right program for them versus just firing up the Google machine?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you've never run a 5K and you're just trying to get started and get to the finish line, or even just get to the start line, like a couch to 5K is fine. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not ideal. Everybody has such different abilities, and that's the issue I have with, like, these over-the-counter style, you can't see my air quotes, but air quote, over-the-counter style training plans, because, you know, it's like, oh yeah, this should work for everybody. If you're starting out, this should work for you, and that's just not the case. Like, if you're on a weight loss journey, then yours is going to look very different from somebody that hasn't run a 5K, but has maybe been biking their whole life, or they've been doing CrossFit or things like that, that are just going to look so different. And so, same with like Hal Higdon, everybody uses Hal Higdon for half and full. And I'm just like, that isn't, it's not a bad idea. It's a good starting point, but like, it's not practical for you and me to use that plan and expect to get to the same point. Like, it's just not going to work that way. And so, I think obviously like a run coach is ideal. That's not financially practical for everybody, and I totally get it and respect it, especially with the prices of everything just absolutely skyrocketing in our world right now. But you know, it is like, if you're trying to get past just making it to start and finish line, then it's a good thing to look into and figure out if you can budget for it. Because if you actually have a set goal and you're like, I want to get there and I want to feel really good and I want to finish and feel like I was fit and ready and did my best and hit a goal time or whatever it is, or a goal place or an age group place or whatever it is, like, you can't expect to do that with an over the counter. It's like, if you have horrible allergies right now, which I do, like, yeah, you can go get the little like off brand allergy medicine. It might help, but like, if you actually go get your allergies tested and figure out what you're allergic to, then you're probably going to have a much better result from that.
So it's having a plan. And not only that, when there's an accountability as well, a Google sheet that you just print off is way, you're going to be way less accountable for actually showing up and putting in your volume of runs to actually get you to the finish line, which a lot of people need as well. I see that all the time as well, of just people's training volume being off, and that can lead to injuries. I think, I mean, I usually laugh because I think whatever the statistic is, with 80% or plus of injuries are our runners are injured at some point in time. And I'm like, and the other one, the other 20 were just lying. Like, they, they're just faking it. They just said no on the survey that got sent out, because everyone deals with stuff that pops up, whether it's heel pain, back pain, hip pain, knee pain, something always pops up. Right. Having proper shoes is essential to actually for the ground contact. If you think of how much ground contact you put in, I couldn't agree more of finding a good pair of shoes that actually fits someone's foot.
Yeah.
As someone with a wide foot, I totally relate to that. If I always try to find the shoes with the widest toe box, because I'm like, yeah, my foot will actually fit into those.
And there's so many pieces to it, right? Like foot width, foot shape, toe length. Like, if you've got the second longer toe, like, there's certain shoes that are going to fit that better than others. And yeah, there's just so many things that make it important.
So that was one thing I wanted to touch on and ask your expertise on, was just how to, and it's really a custom thing if someone has an actual goal or time in mind. They really do need a custom plan, or at least someone similar to them that is in a similar situation to train-wise. Mm-hmm. The next question I wanted to ask you is, from what you see with your running coaching, how do people become more efficient runners, or how do they become better runners? Because I feel like most of us are never taught to run ever. We just put our shoes on and just go, and if we have a big cushy heel, we just heel strike because we can, and that's just what we do. What are kind of the most common things you help runners correct when it comes to running form to become more efficient?
I mean, it really comes down to strength. Most of the time, if you have an inefficiency, it's in a strength imbalance. So for women, a lot of times we see it in the hips, and that's super, super common, and that can lead to IT band pain or low back pain, or even plantar fasciitis can be caused from things working up the line. So I think strength training is extremely important. It's something that I do minimally with my training plan, and that's why I normally recommend that people, especially if they've got some serious, like serious issues, they need to seek out treatment with someone like you. Like, let's go really work on this, because you're going to deal with constant injuries until you correct this imbalance. And that's the beauty of the 3D gait analysis, is it gets those little imbalances down to a very, very small degree, and it looks for every little thing. And so that's really useful. It does come with the training program, but again, like, that's going to work to an extent. But if you've got some serious issues, things that you've had, chronic injury issues, which a lot of people do, then you probably need more. You know, you probably need to go and get someone specialized in helping you correct a specific muscular imbalance or issue or inefficiency.
It is even crazy. I have a client I'm working with right now. She was a Division III cross country and track athlete. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until now that she's almost 30 that she's working with me that no one's ever taught her like how to run.
Yeah.
Her foot just turns out like a duck and she's having chronic like hip flexor IT band pain.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why has your foot turned out like that? Why are you running like that? What's going on here? You're blowing efficiency. I'm like, no one ever told you this all through your high school and collegiate career of running.
Well, and here's the thing. As a college coach, I could say, like, you've only got so much time, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so, I mean, even with my collegiate athletes, most of them have now done the gait analysis with me, or the remainder will this summer, so they can at least get a start on some of those exercises. But, you know, most coaching staffs have a few people for a lot of kids and one trainer dedicated to your team that's also probably helping two or three other teams. And so, yeah, a lot of those things kind of go unnoticed.
That might be the most surprising thing you said to me, is you actually had a track coach in college that kind of focused on you and making you a better athlete, which is actually rare from a lot of the college athletes I talk to. They don't have a lot of coaches for the number of athletes on the team, and there's not a lot of even individual attention spent on someone. It's just making sure you show up. Is basically the coach's job.
I was very fortunate that the program that I was at Columbia College, we were only distance at the time. It was an inaugural program, so there was a very small team, and so he was able to really dedicate a lot of attention to each of us. But, you know, that's the goal with my husband Jordan and I when we coach at Grandview. Like, every one of our athletes gets a customized training plan. So it's hard, and it's a lot of work, and most teams don't have the ability to do that. And it comes down to really just staffing and whether they have a good staff or not. And we're fortunate at Grandview, we have like 9 coaches for the track team. So
I actually didn't know you guys coached at Grandview. So you guys help on the track, track staff?
We do basically everything from 800 through 10K.
For men and women's on the track team. Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. That just came to a close, honestly, not too long ago then.
Yeah.
You just finished that as well.
That's why I was in Gulf Shores. I was at Nationals. So, yeah.
Oh, but that makes way more sense.
No, it was not just a fun little vacay.
Let's talk about, so when a runner needs a new pair of shoes, they can come into Fitness Sports, especially the Clive location is where you have the 3D software.
Yes.
Tell me what benefit you see and what value you can provide to someone coming into the store and why they should have it done with you.
Well, it's just like you said, with the woman that ran Division III, like, no one had ever told her anything about her form. Most people that run have never looked at, seen, heard anything about their form, and very few people are just perfectly efficient out of the gate, right? Like, I can think of a few people on my Grandview team that are extremely efficient, really strong, don't ever get injured, and that's just luck. I mean, they're just lucky. Like, realistically, you know, bodies are not made symmetrically. Bodies are not made, you know, we have a dominant side that doesn't always match. Like, I'm dominant left leg, dominant right hand, dominant left eye. Like, most people are really asymmetrical. Mm-hmm. And so strength is exactly the same. It's amazing. Have somebody, you know it, have somebody do a single leg squat on each leg, and they're going to have one that they're maybe okay at, and then the other is probably really bad. So I think the beauty of the 3D is, like I said earlier, it pinpoints every single little efficiency from low back down to foot. And so that's something that the naked eye can only see to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. And so those little markers pick up those tiny degrees of movement that we may not see with the naked eye, but that can lead to an injury later on, or is being caused by something else up the line that you may not see. Lack of glute strength can be seen in a lot of different things. I think, like, even heel striking, you know, people are like, oh, well, just pick up your feet more. And it's like, well, that's not how it works, because there's a reason why it's happening, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it works up the line. And so the beauty of the 3D is we can see every single little inefficiency and figure out what areas of the body need to be improved and strengthened.
And especially overstriding. That's probably the one I see more. That's probably the, if I were to fix one thing, or the thing that I see the most that I could wish I could improve on every runner, is just, and it's just simple physics of, you're putting the brakes on every time you reach in front of your base of support. You're stopping yourself with and your knee usually takes the brunt of that force of overstriding. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, just Google overstriding. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about in a picture or video. And if that looks like you, like, correcting that will do so much just for the amount of forces going through your heel, your knee, your hip, and help with long-term injury management, which every runner is usually interested in, because they like to run. Yeah. They want to run for a long time.
Yeah.
They really enjoy whether the physical or mental health benefits of running. That's usually why most people run. It's mental clarity. It's to get out into nature. It's to get outside to do something fun, or even just to compete and stay competitive, because you were competitive, and it's a way for you to get your competitive juices going, still being a track coach. What else do you guys have planned for fitness sports in the next coming years, as far as expansion or you growing your running analysis program? What kind of, looking ahead to the rest of the year, what do you guys have coming up?
Yeah, I would say our primary focus right now is maximizing what we're already doing. So really getting Brad out at a lot of events, really being seen in the community. We're putting on a lot of group runs and walks now. We've got like our lunch bunch walk every week. We've got group runs Mondays at Johnson and Coralville, like just really maximizing some of that stuff. And then, yeah, I would say for me, like, really growing the gait analysis, really growing the coaching service. We're hoping to put on some youth camps in their off seasons when they're not competing for their schools or their track clubs, things like that. I really think it's just, let's become really good at what we're doing. We don't really have a lot of big bright ideas of like, oh, let's go put a store here. Mm-hmm. There's always ones on the back burner because my husband is always looking at that stuff. But I think, I know for sure for the rest of this year and probably all of next year, our focus is just really, really working with what we've got right now and just building our community, growing that back. Because I feel like since we bought Fitness Sports almost a year ago, we've spent so much time just getting acquainted with that store, figuring our processes out. We were short-staffed, as everybody else can attest to. And so we were just doing a lot of like, okay, let's keep our head above water type stuff. Not necessarily financially, but just like stress level. You know, it's like, okay, how, like, I used to never work Sundays, and I worked probably 6 Sundays in a row this spring because I had to. And so that's just been kind of survival mode for a while. And so I think now that we're coming out of that and we've got great staffing and we've got people put in place in areas that they can be really useful right now, our goal, mine and Jordan's goal as the owners, is to just support our staff, support the community, and just really be efficient with what we're already doing.
I think even the group runs is something that got just kind of shut down for almost a whole year in 2020. And people are kind of finally starting to trickle back into that as far as being accountable and getting back into a group of people again. Mm-hmm. And I actually think that's a great idea I never thought of. I'm like, oh, yeah, that kind of went away. And people probably hasn't picked back up of people getting together with all of their groups like they did in 2019 and before.
It's slow and steady, you know? I mean, I'm on the board for Capital Striders as well. And we've seen with their Saturday group runs, like, just slowly they're kind of growing back to what they used to be. But, you know, a few years ago, you'd see 60, 70 people on a Saturday run, and And over the last handful of months, it's been, you know, 20, 30. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's different.
I never thought about it. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And you guys trying to maximize that as well. Let's talk about how someone can get in touch with you, mm-hmm. whether it's learning about the fitness sports group stuff you guys have going on, yeah. or where they can buy shoes. And then you individually, if someone wants to have a 3D running analysis like myself, mm-hmm. and look at you as far as specific coaching, how does someone contact you or look up either of those?
Yeah. So if somebody wants to get fitted, they can just walk in our doors anytime. There is an ability to make an appointment on our website, fitnesssports.com. It's not necessary, but it can sometimes help people because it does send a reminder. So if you want to say, hey, I really need to get shoes next week. I know I've got this day open. I'm going to book an appointment so I don't forget. You can do that. It also gets your information into our system, so we don't have to do it when we check you out. Mm-hmm. But that's not a big deal. It takes 10 seconds, so it's not a big deal. But that's an option. You can always just walk in. As far as the gait analysis goes, you can book an appointment on the website, fitnesssports.com. It's under the Running Lab tab on our website. But if you're not ready to like fully commit to booking the appointment, just email me, lindsay@fitnesssports.com, or you can just do our contact us page, or find me on Instagram, Facebook, any of that, message me. I think my Instagram profile is public, so people can message me and stuff. You can message the store pages, anything like that. I have access to all of those, accounts. So any way that you need to get a hold of me, you can. I would say don't walk into the stores and expect to see me there. If I'm at a store, it's normally Clive, but I have a 3- and 4-year-old, so it just depends. Like, my people always ask, like, what's your work schedule? And it's like, I don't know. I don't have one. Like, I'm there and I'm not there. It totally varies week to week, day to day. So, my son's in potty training right now, and so my in-person presence will probably be a little less while we go through that, because the last thing I need is him pooping in a shoe. So, yeah, so we're just, I would say don't expect to walk in and necessarily be able to talk to me that moment. The best option is to set up a time with me, email me, message me on any of those platforms. I can give you my cell number. It's on my email. So if they email me and I respond, it'll have my cell number on there. They can call, text, anything like that. So I'm really open to communication. I'm not like one of those like, oh, you have to email me or I won't answer you. Mm-hmm. Anything is free game. So
I will put all of that in the show notes, and when awesome. We blast that on social media when I get this released. So thanks for joining me, Lindsay. This was really fun. This was a little less nerdy than our individual talk about running out. We can talk more nerdy stuff that the people listening may not want to talk about.
Yeah, if anybody wants to nerd out, we'll get together, grab a drink and hang out and nerd out about track and running. And
go on a short run and nerd out about that.
That's a better idea.
But thanks for joining me. All the listeners out there, appreciate everyone following along with the podcast. I will catch you next episode.
Thank you.
Hey, real quick before you go, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast and would like to share it with others, please take a screenshot and share it to your story on Facebook or Instagram, and make sure to tag Rev Health and Wellness. To stay up to date on all of our latest episodes, be sure to follow Rev Health and Wellness on Facebook and Instagram.